Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Prior to the pandemic, on the seventh floor, someone did pass. But why would they come down to the fourth floor?
Well, they would relocate and say, I'm over here now!
So as soon as I saw the can move,
yes,
I, and this is no joke, I thought I was having some sort of stroke. She was ill, and I did not know that when I said that.
He's a monster.
And you were close.
He's a monster, Mac. You had them for a good long time?
Oh, very much so. Yeah, they went well into their 80s. I think my grandfather got into his 90s. I could be wrong.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. That's wonderful.
Well, you're no expense blessed. Was spared.
Yeah.
God. You're a monster. You're as monstrous as your brother.
Yeah, I guess I am.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Who is this f***ing lunk anyway? He looks like a ball sack in a toupee. Sometimes it is a big competition.
Yeah, baby! Starting out with old Brian Cox. Brian Cox and Logan Roy. The character we're never going to see again on TV.
Unless they do a prequel.
Bummer.
Or,
I don't know.
Was Logan Roy maybe an entrepreneur of sorts? Maybe a fast food establishment? Logan Roy Rogers? Nothing? All right, fine.
I didn't want to hit the crickets early
it's sad.
In the show.
Actually, I'm
but,
disgusted by it myself.
I'm not quite sure what
Let's
to do.
Let's start the show over again.
No, I think we've got
Mike
a good
O'Mara
head of steam.
Damn it!
shut up, crickets. For Monday, we have a lot to cover on our program today. I just, as we were talking about television there, something else popped into my brain. A new old favorite that Mrs. O'Mara and I are both enjoying. And we're actually, but it's not relevant because we're watching last season, getting ready for this season. Mm. So that's a tease. Figure it out. But before we do anything else, on the program, on Thursday's episode, it was something a little odd, something I was really not aware of until I saw one of our short clips on social media. And it is something that happened in the studio. In the past, I have experienced stories of hijinks, paranormal activity in studios. The aforementioned Joe Ardinger
yes.
having a Confederate soldier walk through the wall. But that was Joe.
Yeah, but that was built. WJFK was built in an area where there was some Civil War action.
What about Jackie Stallone? Did she ever bring any paranormal your way?
No, but we had...
What about WOHN when you were in Herndon? I know that was in a house, wasn't it?
No. That was a separate building. That was an actual broadcast studio near a broadcast tower. In Annapolis, when I worked down there, that was in a home.
That's
what
it must
be. Or a house type of thing that was going on, but I never experienced any real hijinks or paranormal. And I don't know why I'm calling it hijinks. That's the wrong word.
Monkey business?
Specters.
Spooks and goblins?
And then we're not doing this because it's Halloween. We are doing this because on Thursday's broadcast, Oscar had put one of his Celsius drinks down next to him.
Mm-hmm.
And in the middle of something or other that we were discussing on the show, the can... moved.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really moved. I have been in the studio we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I've been at that table. I know how that table works. By the way, it works like my table. You could put a level on the table in Washington.
Correct.
And
yes.
you would see that there is no angle whatsoever. It is completely level. It is completely flat. And as Oscar was... doing the show. He wasn't speaking at this particular time. I think Rob and I were.
Yeah.
And then the can of Celsius moves like 2 to 3 inches closer to him. And he, while we're flapping our gums, is staring at it.
Yes.
And then he looks kind of under the table to see if anything was moving. But it wasn't. There was nothing like magnetic or anything like that under the table. And the only connection I can give you to feeling like something's off is since we have moved into my home down here, which, you know, was built out in the middle of a swamp. It could be anything out here. I routinely see movement off close to my peripheral vision. And
in your home?
In my home, to the extent where I will look over and say, oh, what does Michael want now? And there's nothing there. And my wife has experienced the same thing. But that does not have anything to do, certainly not geographically, to our Podville studio in Washington, D.C. We're talking hundreds of miles between where you are and where I am. Now, a lot of people that watch this show and consume it on video or certainly audio don't even make that distinction. They don't think of me being here and you guys being there. And even if you watch, you know, the video of it, we've done, you know, really good job for the fact that we were limited in fundage, putting this together and making it like
I'm over here.
We're one. Yes. In fact, it starts with me way, 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 way back 13 years ago, when I was beginning the show, I said, I wonder if it'll work. I'm used to talking to these guys in the same room. Well, there was never a beat missed, and we moved on. And then shortly thereafter, I said, what the hell am I doing in Manasshole, Virginia? And so I chose to move down here, and the same thing. You know, we had glitches at the very, very beginning of doing this, or sometimes when we would go away, but those aren't really even relevant to the show.
Great gear in place now.
And we also got rid of them because, as you know, Mike, glitches get stitches.
Yeah, glitches get stitches. And absolutely.
And the technology has evolved.
Mm-hmm.
What I initially thought, and what I think to this day, it may shock you, because, as you know, I come from a people that celebrate the supernatural.
But they are a superstitious people.
Yes.
Mm. That, so are the Irish.
On a regular...
Not the Polish.
No.
On a regular basis, we'll find a piece of toast that's burned just so that it may look like the Virgin Mary, and then we'll worship to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, suddenly you look out back, and you got like 30,000 bicycles in your driveway.
My mother has a full shelf of Virgen de Guadalupe candles.
Yes.
So if there's ever something that is happening, or where there is a challenge or a job interview or anything like that, she'll always say, I'll light a velita for you, a little candle for you.
Now, does she have other candles like Yankee candles, or is it just purely religious candles?
No, she Yankee, you know, she's not a baseball fan. But
that was better than the Roy Rogers joke.
She exclusively buys her candles from El Mercado Latino.
Yes.
Yeah. And El Mercado Latino does not carry Yankee candles.
Okay.
It's made in China with various saints on the labels that are probably flammable.
Collect them all.
If you buy three, El Padre, El Hijo, El Espíritu Santo, all three, you get a deal. It's just like you do at 7-Eleven with, you know, the Gatorades.
And trade them with your friend.
The Holy Trinity, as they call it. So as soon as I saw the can move.
Yes.
And this is no joke, I thought I was having some sort of stroke. Because that's the only way I could logically put together that just happened. And if I recall from the show, and going back and listening to it, I immediately looked at the camera in front of me that should be running at all times, because we capture four different captures. Yeah. And that why actually I wanted to confirm that it was rolling. Because I said, either I'm stroking out or you're going to see me stroke out. And at least there'll be video evidence that it didn't happen and I had to see a neurologist ASAP.
Well, I should mention here that we do have the video standing by.
Please.
So if you want to roll
it. All right, well, yes. Good. Before we continue talking about it.
Look at where I look immediately after it happens.
Okay. You should see what I wrote in the memo.
Oh, God. We'll
great
take
ride.
A break. Come back with more on the Michael Berry Show.
Hand moves.
So
hand
disturbing. Moves. Yeah. I don't even. Roll it from the beginning again, please.
It's coming to come
it's
right
it's gonna
back.
It's
going
to replay.
It's coming right
can we make it bigger?
That's right.
It's bigger.
You should see what I wrote in the memo.
Oh, God. We'll
great
take
ride.
A break.
Yeah, I
can
literally.
Can I ask a question
yes.
about the can?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
How full was it?
It wasn't very full.
So it was light, but,
yeah.
but was there any appreciable draft or breeze coming
nothing.
Across?
Mm-mm. And you see me at one point within that
look
video.
Is, look, you know what the credibility factor of this is? That look right there.
All the looks he gives. All
that
of them.
Look
it's genuine.
Right there
yes.
is the credit. Because he's not planning on this. That is not well, maybe not that credible.
Well, no, but, I'm like, I
it really
this
looks
is,
like a Three Stooges short.
This is what I think. Know. Am I? This is it. This is what this is. This
so
I don't have
down.
Any history of heart disease, but I guess this is what's going to take me down.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. or my brain. Something.
Roll that again, please.
From the
throw
very top. Yes.
From the top.
Yeah.
As he prepares that,
you should see what I wrote in the memo.
Oh God. We'll
great
take
ride.
A break. Come back with more on the Michael Berry Show. That is so disturbing. I don't even.
By the way, great job by the team.
Is it?
That's right. You should see what I wrote in the memo.
Oh, God. We'll
great
take
ride.
A break.
Mike, I'd say that can moves more than 4 inches. It's a
yep.
big move.
It also looks like it's nudged. When I showed this to my mother this past Friday evening.
Did she scream?
So if you're wondering where I was, I had to go see my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a pretty lovely little Friday.
Well, she immediately ran to the fridge, grabbed the holy water, and started splashing it on me.
You have holy water in your home or in her home?
My mom does.
And
is
I wouldn't think
fridge?
I wouldn't think you'd refrigerate it.
I don't. She'll leave meat out for 7 days, but she'll refrigerate the holy water. I don't know. She's a foreigner.
But, you know, bacteria, if you leave it out, you don't want the Lord's water to be.
I would think the Lord would take care of any
she
bacteria.
She respects the water. But yeah, she started splashing me and like, she said to me that te macumbiaron, which means you've been cursed. That's what my mom said to me.
Why the hell? I mean, no waiting. Why did she say that?
Because at every turn, when something goes sideways in people's lives, whether it's us, it's something on the news, it's a celebrity in Spain that she doesn't know that she thinks she knows, it's Larry King, it's Le Macumbiaron. Like someone cursed Larry, that's why he can't find love, and then he died. That was it.
Do you know anyone like in your family or your friend circle that she has recently said they were cursed?
She said that my dad's cursed. She said that she's cursed. The macumbiano is not a big deal. It's like her thing of just basically saying you've got bad energy, bad spirits.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Mom, the only dead person we've talked about in el programa de Mike, as she calls it, Mike Show, is our new producer's grandfather. And then she said, what? I said, there's a new kid. El Caballito is working from home. The little horse is working from home. But there's a new kid that comes in and he works with us. And we just talked about his dead grandfather.
When you said that, you know, Mike, we are separated from Mac with 3 panes of soundproof glass.
Right.
And I heard him laugh through the glass. He's really enjoying this.
And if you recall from that conversation, you weren't here, Mike.
Yeah.
Do you have your blue blood picture? Do you mind putting that up real quick, Mac?
Yeah.
I did insult his grandmother because in the picture,
right,
I said she had the spine that looked like a xylophone. And then Mac got upset at me. And if his grandfather was listening, because they were close, he probably got upset at me.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and the grandfather's no longer with us?
Both of them are no longer with us.
No.
But I was
what picture are we referring to?
He's putting it up
to?
Right now. This is the
We're working them right out of the gate today.
This is the Mac composite.
Yeah. It's a family photo, Mike.
For perspective, both of the companies that Mac's grandfather sold are publicly traded on the NASDAQ and the New York Stock Exchange, respectfully.
Yes.
Mac so, comes from a little moolah?
Blue blood money, yes. Yeah. As I like to call it, Charlie Bernie money.
Really?
And this gentleman right here, you can see him, correct? It looks like he's related to the Monopoly man.
Yeah.
Yes. And then his beautiful wife, who I insulted by saying she had a the spine of a xylophone.
Yes.
That we just had to prop her up a little bit. When I said that, I knew I crossed the line.
Yeah. That's his late grandma.
Yes. And Mac, a little more color, if you will. She was ill, and I did not know that when I said that.
So sorry.
Right?
Yes.
He's a monster.
And you were close.
He's a monster, Mac. I've said that for years. He's a monster.
The amazing thing, if you look at the picture, she still looks better than Mac.
Yes.
Yeah,
which is a stunning accomplishment.
And Rob had my Vital Lego too.
And Rob said something telling. He said the bottom row looks wealthy and well to do.
Yes.
And the top row is what?
Well, not wealthy, not well to do.
They're waiting for
They're waiting
for the fortune to fall to them.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
Mac, were you close to your grandparents?
Yeah, very much so.
Before the photo, did your mom look at her watch? To see how much time it passed?
No.
Okay. Just checking.
No.
So that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And you had them for a good long time?
Oh, very much so. Yeah. They went well into their 80s. I think my grandfather got into his 90s. I could be wrong.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. That's wonderful.
Well, you're no expense blessed. Was
yeah.
spared.
Yeah.
God. You're a monster. You're as monstrous as your brother.
Yeah, I guess I am.
Ridiculous.
So I would like to formally apologize in the forum and where it all began in the same space.
Right.
To grandfather, as Mac would call him.
Grandfather.
Hey, you can take the picture off now.
For insulting your beautiful wife. I'm sure she was fetching in her day and she looks great there. I didn't realize.
So you think grandpapa maybe was moving the can?
Yeah.
Are you certain that the grandmother wasn't moving it? I mean, you insulted her.
Not with that spine.
No, but God took away all of her suffering. She was a good Catholic, was she not, Mac?
There was no
haunting. They're going to descend on you and suck your breath out in the middle of the night right now.
I know.
That's the only paranormal spirit I think I've crossed.
But if you think of how aggressive Mac is as a person, if he gets that from his grandparents, the most aggressive thing they would do is move a can. That's
it. Let me say this. I think we're making assumptions that we shouldn't be making, that you have to somehow... first of all, it's a negative connotation, which I don't think it is.
Right.
And secondly, you're assuming it would be someone that would have knowledge of your awareness, which I don't think it is. I think that the Joe Ardinger example, which will heretofore be referred to as the WJFK Confederate soldier walking through the wall.
Yes.
Had nothing to do with anyone there. And everything I've read about paranormal activity is usually it's the people that, have been there or there's some entity that's there. Here's something that's troubling to me. This is way up in a high rise.
Yes.
Well, ghosts can fly?
No, I don't think so.
Haven't you seen? Yeah, they swoop around.
I think we actually have established on, is it Scrooge? They take the elevator.
Okay, good point.
So this is a moving can. Any plausible explanation why that may have moved the way it moved. It didn't move like it was.
It was being pushed.
It didn't move like it was being pushed.
There were no fingers that I could see.
Pushed towards me by whichever spirit was said, have a heart attack.
No, you know what? Mike is saying that there's no malevolence here from the ghost.
I don't think there is. I think
so
there is.
Could it be?
Did you talk to Charlie Bernie about it?
No, and I said, Charlie, I'm going to show you a video. And this has not been doctored. It just happened.
Mm-hmm.
He was freaked out. And
is there any history? Because it's downtown Washington.
Yes.
Sure.
Been around for many, many, many moons. Is there any history of where the ground was, you know what we That's broke smart. Ground on to yeah. build I literally this particular high rise.
This is why you're Mike O'Mara. And the,
yes.
And
didn't you do, was the paper you did?
Broadcast journalist, yes. Mike O'Mara.
When you did your project in college, was it on UFOs or was it on ghosts?
It was on UFOs.
Okay, so it doesn't carry. But we are in amazingly close proximity to the White House, and the White House is lousy with ghosts.
Well, so, and also, when you're talking about the conflicts and what went on before the White House was even built.
Right.
The Keating Five.
What's that?
Nothing.
Washington was a thriving little bustling
sure.
area.
Yeah.
And you know, who knows what had happened.
Mike, there were duels. People were shot. Things happened in this city.
But I'm thinking more along, you know, the proximity of where these buildings are to the Potomac River.
You're right.
And that is where you would have people that would have encampments and Native Americans who would have villages and all of that type of stuff. And if something was disturbed or there was controversy regarding a particular building project, just because there are high rises in a particular location does not mean that the high rises were built in the same location of what may have come long
and I can,
long
and I can
time
offer
before.
An example of this, Mike. They call Savannah, Georgia, the most haunted city in America.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons they
Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, great novel.
Yes. One of the reasons they call it that is when they were laying out the town and its modern layout, there was a cemetery where they wanted to put some roads.
Mm-hmm.
And what had happened previous is they had moved the headstones, but not the bodies. So when they dug it up to do the road, all the bodies were still under there, and they disturbed hundreds of graves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the ghosts walk among us. So if somebody was disturbed during the building of this high rise, that could be the same.
Yes, go ahead, Oscar.
Oh, it's actually, you're freaking me out now because.
Well, I've read a lot about this.
That prior to the pandemic, if I'm not mistaken, on the seventh floor, someone did pass. But why would they come down to the fourth floor?
Did they pass in the building?
That's what I heard.
Well, they would relocate and say,
I'm over here now.
That's good use of that. I feel the same way about paranormal activity as I do about UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
I think we would have to be very, very narrow-minded and closed-minded to think that it was not a possibility that something else could be out there.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, there was.
We don't know.
And for you Mythbusters out there,
yeah,
there was no condensation on the table. You actually see me at some point within the video, try to figure out what's going on with the surface. You'll see me actually take my hand as I am right now and then tap the surface to see if something was going on with the surface of the actual counter. And you might even hear it on the tape.
I mean, if I do this, there's a vibration and things vibrate a little bit. But once again, I get back to the nature of the
table. Look, this can's right here, full and condensating, nothing.
Condensing.
And that moved in such a way that it was just like moving a mouse.
Yeah. And, you know, Mike, it would have to be a steady, palpable vibration for it to be like an old football game.
There's actually no condensation.
Let's check in with the guy that did some of the editing of our video presentation of this. Mac, what's your thought on this?
I don't want to believe it. That it's, I mean, I don't believe that ghosts exist in any sort of way.
Okay.
I think it all can be explained scientifically, but that doesn't mean I can.
Right.
So I don't know.
Do you have any scientific, just like a dart you could throw that you think has part to do with it?
I mean, the first thing that I go to is condensation.
Right.
But if that's ruled out, then I don't know where else.
So the condensation making the can slippery to slide on water, is that your point with that?
I think so.
But it's a level table.
Yeah, it's also a funky
is it?
It's a funky can. Like, it's, this isn't like this is how many, all I do is pound liquid IVs and Celsius here on the show.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And how many, we've done hundreds of shows. Never have you ever seen, even when I would drink the Monster energy drinks or Red Bulls, you've never seen anything slide across.
Yeah. Put it right there.
Yes.
Put it right where it is right now. No, just smack the table.
Nothing.
Except great radio.
And TV.
Yes, true enough.
Mac.
Yes.
Was your grandpapa...
Grandfather.
Was he a fighter?
Not really. I can't think
what
of any
What about your grandma when she was spry? Was she a fighter?
No. She was essentially... She was very, very loving.
Was she on that team in a league of her own?
She didn't get in fights.
Like a league of her own? Was she a ball player during the war?
I've not seen that movie, but probably
Stop.
Not.
Stop.
One
it.
Of the Georgia Peaches?
Really?
You know what? I have trouble with the Racine Pears or whatever the hell. My God. There's no crying and haunting.
It's also spooky season because...
Yeah. But can I also say this? This is something that happened to us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This is something, when I saw it, I watched it probably 10 times. Because this was, you know, I can say without a shed of dishonesty, this is not something that was said to me. This was not something that was passed along prior to the show. We were going to break it. Oscar didn't even stop down. He referenced it when we came back
exactly.
from the commercial.
Exactly.
And I am a firm believer that these television programs, that there are hundreds of, where people go into the scary house or the old asylum, and they're 99.99% BS.
Of course.
Where it's like, what was that? That's because it sells. That's all, because people are idiots. As a matter of fact, later on in the show, I want to talk about the human condition in general, which worries me more now than it ever has before. But this was something I saw on video with my own two eyes, and I saw the reaction from Oscar, and it was weird, and I'm not aware. And I know I welcome people to send us correspondence, send us drop us a line, share a story you might have yourself, and I'd also to know what the plausible explanation you might have for this.
The only other person that I look, and I, this is in real time, so you get to hear it raw. Do you think this is Riddell?
Stop it. I don't want to think about
that. Just saying hello?
I was going to say earlier, this is not a malevolent thing. This was a signal.
Like a sweet thing.
It could be a sweet thing. But he would probably...
I think he's spilling my crotch.
Yeah, he would move my drink and throw a drink on you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why, he didn't like Oscar?
No, he would think it'd be funny.
Yeah,
he
would think it would be funny.
Like, but it's like he would
did
like...
Did he like Oscar, though?
No, he did.
Yeah, absolutely. We were friends.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm just checking. I'm just checking.
Just and joke, but that's really weird, and it never occurred to me.
Right?
Yeah. And I do feel, I won't get too weird about it, but I do feel he's contacted me since he's passed.
Yeah, you're the closest to death that we've ever known.
Yeah,
so in multiple ways.
How is he contacted?
Through dreams. That are really oddly specific.
Okay.
And
that's I always wished I could dream about my parents. And,
oh, that's sweet.
I really haven't a lot. Yeah. Recently, I think I came in last week. Did I tell you the story where I'm in a Gothic church?
And no.
I'm running around because I've got to deliver my father's eulogy, and I don't know whether there's going to be time allowed for it. I don't know where I'm supposed to go, what pulpit I'm supposed to preach from and all that, and do the... It was just really weird. It was almost like being backstage at a concert venue of some kind. So that happened. I mean, they're not related.
No.
But, to dream vividly about someone.
Mine was so vivid,
gone.
And I don't usually remember dreams so sparklingly clear when I wake up. I called each of his daughters and talked to them about it.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it was a really wild thing where he was actually performing at his funeral. And afterwards, he came up to me and he said, listen, I just wanted to tell you that everything's okay.
Aww.
And he says, I got to go, but you're going to be okay. And everything's okay.
Well, that's and great.
It was the most reassuring. I woke up
feeling
so good about him at that moment. And that, because it was not an easy time for him, an easy way that he went.
No.
And so I called it was a Sunday morning. And too early, I called his daughters. I said, I think your dad reached out and I want to tell you about it. And we both, good conversations with Sammy and Rachel about it.
That's so
that
great.
That was wild. It really, really was.
That's awesome.
What closure as well.
Yeah.
He was giving.
Yeah.
Like that.
At the same time, you know, I would love to hear the scientific explanation.
I can ask the security guard downstairs. We have a triple OG that's been here forever. About
it's a triple OG.
Like, original gangster security guard.
Mike, for us, it would be the old guard, but they say original gangster.
Yeah. Really?
Like, they've been here for, like, I think a little over a decade. 17 years?
Mm. Okay.
A lot over a decade. I'm an idiot. almost 20 years, they've been here.
Mike, he's doing the math on the fly.
Yes. Triple OG mathematician.
Mathematician.
What?
So, listen.
That's 20 years, you dummy.
I want people to do this for me.
Okay.
I'd love to hear your theories on it. Do we have... Is there a way of putting this up on our website to just have there?
Yes.
The ghost clip.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Like, put up our ghost clip.
Mm-hmm.
So people can go check it out.
Just the clip.
Just for a little bit.
What do you mean?
We can play Ouch, Ouch, That's My Hair.
He's just being naughty is all.
Like the sexual, just the tip.
Just the tip.
Just a little bit.
Sorry. Yeah. I get freaked by this.
I can tell.
Well, I had to live with it all weekend. Thank God for the holy water. I called.
Did it sizzle when it landed on you?
No, I called my brother.
It burns.
That's why I'm wearing a hat.
Good afternoon, Oscar.
My brother, I sent it to
Isn't
him.
Isn't it weird that it's October too?
Mike, as a matter of fact, quick sidebar, very fast. Mac he proposed this today that since birthday season is over, he says October 1st to 31st should be spooky season.
Well, it's spooky season on the Michael.
I don't think he's really breaking.
Yeah, I think a ghost story a day might here. Be. I think a ghost story a day might be appropriate.
Okay.
Oh,
I think if we can, you know, I commit to you.
Paranormal? Does it have to be ghosts?
I will bring in a ghost story that I've told before, but I'll bring in a ghost story tomorrow, and then maybe Rob could do it one day, and Oscar could do it one day.
Oscar has to read it though; can't memorize it.
I'll tell you a real quick one.
Okay.
And this isn't a ghost story, but when my father passed away at the relatively nowadays young age of 77, we realized he had COPD when he passed away. I went to the ATM in my hometown of Glastonbury, Connecticut, on a absolute dead calm day.
Mm.
And I'm walking into the ATM, and I'm thinking of my dad, which I did a lot during those days. And suddenly, the wind came up, and the trees were moving back and forth, and I had this overwhelming sense of he was there.
Yeah.
It's not a ghost story, but it's the way I felt. Look, I think we as human beings project that to get through things.
Did I tell you? Oh, I have one, but I can... This happened probably last March.
Mm-hmm.
Two Marches ago.
Okay.
And I had an apparition of what I thought was an angel. And
where did you see the angel?
Well, my wife and I were sleeping in separate bedrooms at the time. So I was
very nice.
It's in bedroom. I was on the couch. She was in the bedroom. And I just woke up, like, I remember feeling like I was waking up and then seeing in my house, like, an angel and then feeling.
You didn't leave Pornhub on, did you?
No, I don't do
that. Is that a category?
I don't do that at home when my wife is home because I'm scared she'll catch me.
Okay.
I do that when I say, hey, don't we need more grapes? Then she goes to the grocery store and then I lock myself in the bathroom like a child.
Okay.
Because I'm scared. Of
that's not, so that's then, not too weird.
And then I get in the tub with the pillow.
God.
I can't unsee that now. God damn it. Oh, God, that's going to burn into my memory now.
Why is the drain clogged?
In the tub with a pillow.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
No, it's a headrest. I know what he's doing.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. But my
horrible
feathers leak.
Oh, my God. Brilliant in its own way. All right. So you saw an apparition of an angel.
Yes. And I woke up full of love and happiness and tears in my eyes. Isn't that wild? There you go.
Stuff happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stuff happens.
Do you have anyone in your family named Angel?
No.
Okay. Just
a great question.
Thank you. On that note, we have to take a break. And hey, we're going to stop down after this music, Rob, because I have to adjust something in here and take a short break. So we will
That's fine.
Do that if we can. And then we'll come right back with the roundtable. Scared kids?
Ooh.
Yeah, you're listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, whoa. Have a boy day. Let's talk about Chime, shall we?
Yes.
Credit scores might not seem like a big deal, but low or no credit can jam up your financial dreams. That's where Chime sweeps in with its secured credit builder Visa credit card. Millions trusted to power up their credit scores, safely boost your scores with everyday buys and prompt payments, no annual fees and no credit check to begin. Plus, no minimum balance or overdraft fees at all. It's your passport to all Visa-accepted spots, all while bolstering your credit with your own funds. Level up your credit game with Chime. Seize your financial future. Start building up your credit right now. Open a Chime checking account with at least a $200 qualifying direct deposit to get started. Get started at Chime.com/TMOS. That's Chime.com/TMOS. The Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by Stride Bank N.A., member FDIC, Chime checking account, $200 qualifying direct deposit required to apply. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal fees may apply. On-time payment history may have a positive impact on your credit score.
That it?
No, I messed that up.
There was a...
I'm sure.
There was late a weighty pause.
May cause a negative impact on your credit score. Results may vary. That's the one.
Ah, very good. Kraken!
Release the Kraken. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's start right away. Tons of celebrities have responded to the horrific attack on Israel by the terrorist group Hamas. Gal Gadot asked people to donate to those in need, although she added, only if you can, probably because of the way Oprah and The Rock were raked over the coals for asking people to donate to the Maui Wildfire Relief Fund. Amy Schumer posted a quote from an activist who commented on the amount of people going on the internet to justify the attacks, even after seeing images of, quote, little girls being killed and dragged through the streets. In another post, Amy said, quote, Hamas don't want to end the occupation. They want to eradicate Israel. They're funded by Iran, who are trying to destroy the peace deal. Music exec Guy Osiri posted several videos, including one of a woman being kidnapped at a music festival. At least 260 people were killed at that festival, and an unknown number were kidnapped. Mm. And I think I came into the show today, you know, saying to you guys that it's just, when you think about Israel, you think about Hamas, you think about this country, you think about hate, hate, you know. Folks, what kind of species are we? I mean, really, we've got brains, but we don't do anything about, our brain power other than, it's funny we were talking about ghosts before, because we create these scenarios that nobody has verified to say that that's my basis for existence and your basis for death. And there's nothing to prove it. Nothing. But yet we kill people over it. I'm talking about organized religion. And it is horrific. And I don't know.
It's terrifying.
I mean, to be indoctrinated into a devout faith, I suppose I can wrap my head around it if you're indoctrinated since birth.
Yeah.
And it is pounded into your head, pounded into your head, pounded into your head. And then at a certain point, you act on it without any humanity whatsoever. I don't get it. And I hate it.
It's, oh, man. I think the idea that there's yet another war being fought, and maybe you can explain this better than I can, Mike, because I can somehow wrap my mind around an aggression from, and I'm not saying it's okay and I'm not justifying it, but I can understand the geopolitics and the strongman attitude of why Russia would invade Ukraine and why Ukraine is defending itself.
Yeah, you got pretty much a government.
Yes.
One dude, you know, saying this is his vision and that imposing his dictatorship will on the military
that
and on his people.
I can comprehend and digest. A holy war, I cannot.
Especially with the history of the area, not just modern history, but thousands of years.
Well, you also have a group of people who are disenfranchised. I'm talking about the Palestinian people.
Of course.
And I'm sure that is fertile ground to breed that kind of hate.
Yes.
And there is no justification for kidnapping, murder, summary murder. There's no justification for it. I'm sorry, I don't care what the circumstances are. Just like, do I agree with the way the Israelis have treated the Palestinians? No, I do not.
Right.
Two can exist. Those ideas can exist very comfortably together. Do I believe there are factions of the Arab world that believe that Israel should be eradicated? Yes, I do. And when you see the way this happens, it just, I make it a bigger issue. I make it an issue of man's inhumanity to man.
Mm-hmm.
And you can always justify horrible things.
Sure.
It's done in every culture since, recorded history.
There are people that spend a lifetime dissecting the Bible to make it say what they want it to say.
Well, but also when you talk about the state of Israel.
Yeah.
I'm not a historical scholar, but I do believe my knowledge of the state of Israel is that this particular area was selected because of its religious significance, but also in no small part because people had been eradicated by the Nazis in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted a safe haven, and they didn't. They believed people were out to kill them, and then they moved to this area, and people are out to kill them again.
Yep.
Mm.
And with anti-Semitic crimes in the United States, well, you see it all the time.
We haven't learned anything in 2,000 years.
I think it's been going on for so long. It does not appear that it will ever change. And I think I look at it as a species issue, not as a religious issue, not as a country issue, not as an atrocity issue. I look at it as a human species issue. Jesus, what we do to each other, it's incredible. Freaking ridiculous.
I'm really speechless. It's just,
yeah, it sucks.
Yeah,
floored.
And by the way, for the people in Gaza, you don't think that's gonna that's nightmare number two?
No.
Oh,
when Israel starts hurling their much more sophisticated weaponry into Hamas, you don't think that's gonna be nightmare? And it's misery.
Yeah.
And it's misery because that small group of radical people that radicalize the citizenry, it's always that small group of radicals that get people to do this. So prayers for everybody over there,
please.
Although I am not optimistic and the whole thing just sucks. Yeah. What are we? Honest to God. It's terrible. It's very depressing, but it is what it is over there. It's reality of the Middle East. Arnold Schwarzenegger thinks going through a bit of struggle is the key to becoming a strong person. I'd back him up on that.
Mm-hmm.
He's worried the people who baby themselves will create a generation of wimps and weak people. He says, quote, the more you struggle, the further you're going to go and the stronger you're going to get. It's just the way the world works. The human mind can only really grow through resistance. Look, if I had one personal example of it, I would say I've done it in my personal life. I've gone through total BS.
Yeah.
Horrible, but I've gone through it because I think maybe there's something else. And now at the end of it, I'm looking at a pretty decent situation. I don't know if that's because I struggled in previous situations or not. I don't know. But All I know is this. People call breaking up a relationship a failure.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree that it is a failure, but at the same time, sometimes the alternative is worse than if you pulled the scab.
Of course.
Pulled the band-aid.
Yeah, but think about how wealthy you'd still be.
That makes me want to cry. That makes me want to cry
right now. And
Mike,
that makes you stronger.
Saw a guy getting into an RR today. Mm. And I was ready to burst into tears. And I said, he's been married for 45 years.
Did you scream at him? Let's see your ring, buddy.
There you go. No divorce for you.
Bet you're miserable.
Would you like to hear the quote from Arnold?
Yes. Please.
You can only strengthen your character, become a really strong person inside if you have the resistance. Let's go and teach kids to be tough and do sports, to study and struggle and go through these kind of painful moments and things sometimes.
Hey, Governor, I have a question.
Yeah, bro.
I read last week, this was sort of in the same vein,
yes,
that when you were disciplining your daughter, uh-huh, she wouldn't put her shoes away and you threw them in the fireplace and burned them in front of her.
There, they no longer exist. That's what happens.
Did he?
Yes.
When you don't put away your shoes.
Such a gangster move.
By the way, I recently celebrated my 40th anniversary of being a U.S. citizen.
And you look so good. I like the gray hair.
Thank you.
Arnold does not get enough respect.
I love Arnold.
I do too.
And I used to hate Arnold, and now I love Arnold.
I saw him with Jamie Lee Curtis, and she was invited to some Oktoberfest fundraiser he was doing. She was in a dirndl, and he was gray everywhere.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Age is a beautiful thing.
Then he burned her shoes.
Last month, some pictures surfaced of Ben Affleck with his ex-wife, Jennifer Garner,
who most of my listeners
know I am still in love with. Mm-hmm. Jennifer Garner, who Ben was either, you know, booze-addled, gambling addicted or whatever, but foolish enough to say goodbye to, you know, numero uno. I'm sorry. You know, they might not have been happy together, but
Sometimes you got to let go, Mike.
Yeah, pull the scab.
I love her, and I love her movies.
Yes.
Especially when she's a badass. Love that. The pictures were Ben and Jen getting a little cozy. Well, J-Lo saw those pictures, and she was not happy.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
In fact, a so-called source says she's intensely jealous and feels like Ben and his ex-wife are a lot closer than she was led to believe. One time, she even screamed at him, quote, saying, she's your ex-wife for a reason. J-Lo has even confronted Garner about it in a text exchange that got heated. She's also canceled some planned get-togethers as a blended family because of the tension.
Mm.
And she has ordered Ben to spend less time with Garner. Quote, J-Lo rages when she gets jealous or feels threatened, and Ben has been on the receiving end of her wrath.
This is a hit piece. It absolutely is.
I don't know.
He doesn't. Yeah, I agree. There are too many videos, though, of Ben. And let's be clear here. I think that J-Lo has got her hands full. Because he looks so unhappy.
He does.
Getting
all the time
in and out of these cars.
He does. He doesn't look like he's happy with her.
No.
Do you think J-Lo gets upset if he spends too much time with Matt Damon?
No.
No, that's okay.
I don't think so.
That's okay.
No, I don't think so at all.
Because there's a difference between like having a bad night at the Grammys and being photographed and videotaped by a national audience of just like this RBF, like, yeah, I don't want to be here.
Yeah, when he knows the cameras are running. Yeah.
To just getting out of your car and looking like you just got yelled at by your wife.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hanging around the farmer's market all sad.
Yeah.
Sod.
Bummed out. I don't want to be here.
I don't want to buy corn.
Hey, it might be the face I have when I'm out and about, right?
No.
Mike, you're beaming.
Because we remember seeing Ben Affleck in the tabloids, and he used to look happy.
Yeah.
If I was taken to a farmer's market, I would have the RBF also, and that RBF would be telling people I would like to be at a casino drinking whiskey.
But Mike, farmer's markets now have baked goods.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. I want to be rolling the bones, having a cocktail. It can be at 9 a.m. Last Wednesday, everyone's cell phone blared with that emergency alert test. It interrupted meetings and lunches and startled some people. Of course it did.
Yeah. Like, I have the sound of it. This is the one they sent me.
Okay. Oh, you did it.
Oh, no.
That was sent by Taco Bell.
But it wasn't that big a deal since it happened to everyone.
Right.
Although it was not ideal for people who have a secret phone, like members of the Amish community.
They got a burner.
There are reports online about how some Amish people are being shunned after... There's your religion again.
Yep, exactly.
After last week's emergency alert outed their hidden cell phones, a former Amish guy on TikTok says that a few of his Amish friends are dealing with backlash because they had their phones on vibrate or with the sound off, and they didn't realize the alert would still make a loud sound.
I would follow an Amish guy on TikTok.
In some Amish communities, this might be a minor offense, but in others, being shunned is significant, and it could involve a difficult separation of the person from the community for an extended period of time. Ooh,
but they're allowed to use cell phones if they're on their Rumspringa.
What's the Rumspringa?
That's when they're like, there's an age. I think it's 18.
Oh, they get to go out like and MTV still show.
Yeah, they get to be wild.
Time for Rumspringa.
I thought you were going to say prisons.
I'm going to go to the town square and pleasure myself. It's Rumspringa. There we go. I'm doing it the Oscar Santana way. I will go to the Lowe's, get in a bathtub with a pillow.
No, at home.
Did your mom make the pillow?
It's quilted.
Finally, a new poll ranked various accents across a bunch of different categories, and I include this list today because I'm not all on board with this.
All right.
They ranked various accents. Everything from which one we find sexiest to the ones we just think sound the funniest. Here's what America has to say. The sexiest accent, Australian.
I agree.
Really?
Yes.
You know what? If it comes from a lady like Nicole
even
Kidman,
guys. Hello, mate.
It's like
we have a 60 Minutes photographer that we're friends with, but like every time he comes in, I'm like, there he goes, that dreamboat.
How do you feel about Oscar? How do you feel about Paul Hogan?
Oh, no, I don't feel the same way.
You see? Hey, Oscar, been in the tab again?
Yeah, and he's very hostile about everything, which I appreciate.
The rest of the Americans think the rest of the top five for sexiness, Scottish, English, Irish, and French.
I think French, absolutely.
Oh, bonjour.
Yeah,
number two, the accent we find the least sexy is a New York accent.
Disagree.
American accents dominate the list in general. The rest of the five least sexy accents are Boston, the Midwest.
When did you get back?
Aren't you back?
When did you get back?
Yeah.
Are you back yet?
Aren't you back?
Are you back? Back up. Back up.
I want
back up the car.
I want a cup of coffee. Black.
Canadian and a Southern drawl. The most confident accent, Boston.
Sure.
Starica. There you go.
Your cousin from Boston.
Let me be clear. I'm not doing the job. Mm. You're going to do it. We doped her up good and proper.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
The Departed?
Yeah.
No. Is that the Departed or the town?
No, it's the town. He goes to the florist.
The flower shop. Yes. We doped her up good and proper.
That's nice.
That was such a horrible scene.
So, but then...
It was dark, and then they got him.
I watched the clip where they do the first one.
Yeah.
Where he tells the horrible story about his mother. And then he comes back. He's come here. I got to tell you something. Bam.
Yeah.
And then he shoots him. And then he shoots him right in the balls.
That is redemption.
Cuddle of movies.
Yeah.
Let's see. The confident Boston. So you're from Beantown. You might not sound sexy, but you sound sure of yourself. A New Zealand accent is next. Then German. Yeah. Confident. Yeah. 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 That's it. That's right. Put it over there. That is where we have
Isn't New Zealand just like Australia, though?
Yes.
Close.
Yeah.
The most annoying accent, Boston again. New York next. The smartest sounding accent, British. I get that.
I thought it would be Southern United States.
The smartest sounding is British.
Yeah.
Germany ranks second. Germany ranks second. The most romantic and most seductive and most beautiful accent overall, French.
Yes, allo.
Scottish also made the top three on all of those lists.
Take off your pants!
Finally, the funniest accent in the world is Canadian. Scottish is next, then Australian. A Canadian accent was also rated most boring overall.
Yeah, and most dangerous.
Oh. Hey.
Yeah.
There you go, eh? Hey.
That's all I know with the Canadian.
Canadians seem nice.
Take off.
They're boring. Yeah.
They also say, see, I covered the Washington Capitals hockey team for many years. I remember Brian Murray, who asked, he just had a little lisp like this.
Yeah.
And they would not say organization. They would say organization. This is a fine organization.
The list isn't complete without Baltimore. Like, that's they should definitely address that.
And we're voted least sexy, least smart, and least romantic.
Oh, I disagree about the romance part.
But you can come to our frog hop anytime you want. Thank you very much. We got to take a break.
Oh, Miss Baker.
Oh, my God. Hey, we'll take a break. And when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we will tell you the story of a wonderful documentary that I recommend for everybody. Ah. And it goes to show that when you're living in America, you don't know everything.
Mm.
You don't know about everybody. You just know what the papers tell you. We'll be right back. Relive and preserve your cherished memories with Legacy Box. Safely digitize your family's precious moments. It's so easy. Visit legacybox.com/TMOS for an exclusive 40% discount. They handle over 15 types of analog media, including VHS tapes, Super 8mm film reels, and photo negatives. As the world's largest digitizer with a decade of experience, Legacy Box has helped over a million families relive special moments, from weddings to Christmases to beach trips to school plays. And, of course, Pentecost. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS to save 40%. Buy today. Send it in when you're ready. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS. Legacybox.com/TMOS. I don't know the name of the TV program I have been binging a little bit, but it's about David Beckham.
It's called Simply Beckham, and it's on Netflix. Yes.
All right. Did you know? I know I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
With all the fame and with Posh Spice and his dreamy modeling career and Bend It Like Beckham and his soccer prowess and more or less his overall celebrity, which I've been aware of for years, did you know that he was for many, many, not really many years, but for like 2 years, he was a complete and total pariah in England? Did you know that?
No.
Oscar Mike, you're a soccer fan. Did you know that?
What, is it because he was, they said he was selfish and he...
Nope.
Or did he...
He's playing as a baby. I think he was 21, 23 tops. I'm not sure. He was a baby soccer player, but brilliantly talented. And he was playing for for England.
Yes.
In the World Cup.
I got it. Yeah, I remember this.
They play, I believe it's Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
And if they beat Argentina, they can go to the finals. And Beckham gets a red card. A red card for you non-soccer fans is when you get thrown out. A yellow card is a warning. A red card, boom.
You're out
of
there.
And I mean, you're gone. And what he did was he got knocked down by this soccer player. And then when he's on the ground, you see him lift his leg up. Really wasn't much of anything. Didn't hurt the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he kicks him in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of lifts his back leg up and boom.
Right.
Well, the ref comes over, gives him a red card. Argentina goes on to win that game.
It's almost impossible to win with the man down.
The coach throws Beckham under the bus. And at that point, they turn on it. And I mean, they turn on him like they've never turned on an athlete in the United States. I'm talking death threats.
Mm.
I'm talking extra security. I'm talking when he went back to play in his English Premier League game, every stadium he would go into, the guy had to have escorts walking to a bathroom if he went to a restaurant. The man was inundated. There were kidnapping threats against his kid with Posh Spice. It went on and on and on and on and on, and it was horrible. And I didn't know. You think, you know, in this country, we think of David Beckham and Posh Spice as the dream couple.
Yeah. Super couple. Did he ever do anything to get back in their good graces?
Named, 2 years later, named captain of the World Cup team.
Mm-hmm.
And
had a solid run.
Had a solid run and personally won a game for him. And it was just, it was a big, big deal. And that's where I am now in the documentary and how he's chugging along. He has just signed with Real Madrid, which is the money team in the world. And
how does Posh come off?
They both come off so down to earth, so real, and they are hysterically funny.
Really?
And he busts her balls all the time because you just have to watch the documentary.
Okay.
But tell me if you watch this documentary about David Beckham. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big soccer guy, but I watch this. Tell me if you don't come away liking the guy a whole lot. Tells people what he is, what he's That's all great. About, where he comes from. And I like him, like him, like him.
I have seen the opposite, the basically polar opposite to this review online, and I haven't watched this, so this is just what okay. I'm taking from my TikTok feed or my Reels feed.
Mm-hmm. Which, what don't people like about it?
They think they're trying exceptionally hard and to a level that it just seems fake, not genuine,
mm-hmm.
to look like they're just regular people.
I don't think so. Let me tell you why. There's okay. a particular clip. Mm-hmm. Turn it down if you don't want to hear it.
Okay.
There's a clip where Posh Spice is talking about David Beckham, who obviously comes from a working class background.
Yeah.
Posh Spice makes the comment, we both came from working class backgrounds. You hear David, you know, tell him the truth. Tell him the truth. And it's just, That's I am funny. Telling the truth. What did your dad drive you to school at? What did your dad? I'm not talking. Tell him what your dad drove you to school at. All right. At a certain point in my life, my dad had a Rolls Royce.
Oh, that's...
God!
So he is genuine.
Was,
yeah.
But it's just, they leave that on mm-hmm. camera, and that tells me all I need Fair. To know about both of them. And by the way, the devotion she shows for him is, it's very hard for that. You know, I think I got a pretty good
You
crap
have
detector.
A great BS meter.
No,
you
really yeah. do. I this might be it. Too
I
deep.
I think they come up.
Yeah. Are they producers of it? Did they fund
no
it at
idea.
All?
I have no idea. It's a mini series.
Okay.
It's a mini doc, you know, yeah, just sure. a limited
well,
series.
Well, if they're on it, I'm sure they signed off on it.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying they if they produced it, then they could control the
And the thing I like about it,
narrative.
It's about the story of what they went through in the public eye,
right.
which in Britain.
Yeah, but they're not portraying themselves as victims, right?
They are portraying themselves in my estimation, in a very real way about, and there's a comment made quite often in this document, you know, I hadn't really thought about it. I'd moved past it.
Mm.
And you realize what they went through. The British tabloid press?
Yeah. Oh, that's rough.
Back in the day?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely notorious for, you know, following them around and doing this. And you see a lot of when he was the pariah, when he was the most yeah. hated man in England
mm-hmm.
for a period of a year or so. And what he dealt with and how he handled that, mad respect for the guy. So,
and also,
and I haven't finished it yet, so I don't know how it ends.
I'll watch it. The thing is that also I remember that the British press was relentless against the Spice Girls.
Mm-hmm.
So they both have a past where they were targeted. And yeah. so I look forward to seeing
it. But is it really that bad if you're like a world famous soccer star and a world famous pop star?
In the case of David Beckham, I won't talk about Posh yes. Spice as much as I will talk about with David Beckham. But in his particular world, you watch it, tell me
okay.
what you think.
Mm-hmm. I will.
Because I think there was a period of time, oh my God, you know, all the fame, all the good looks, the pop star wife, not worth it.
Okay.
That's the way I looked at it. We got to take a break.
Was it like looking in a mirror, Mike?
It sure was. It sure was. You know, when you're just too good looking.
It's hard. Take me seriously.
Look at that. Son, I say, son. Paint it red. Paint it red and I'll lay eggs. We'll take a break, come back and talk about Oscar's anniversary. Right. This podcast is sponsored by Groove Life.
Yay.
You know what time it is?
What time?
It's time to update your wallet. The Groove Wallet is what I'm talking about.
Yes.
It's a sleek, low-profile aluminum wallet engineered for everyday use. I never get tired of whipping it out in a store.
Oh.
And going like this, okay, how much do I weigh? And just Boom. Flipping yep. out my cards like that.
Yep. They never it's fall a, out.
And then,
it's great.
You're going to have to edit that, too. Jeez.
It's great.
Dummy. Show your credit card to the world. A moron. Anyway, the aluminum wallet is engineered for everyday use. One thumb motion perfectly fans out up to 6 cards for easy access, and it comes with Groove Life's 94-year no BS warranty. Plus, don't forget the Groove Wallet Go.
Go!
It attaches to your iPhone 12, 13, or 14 by using innovative micro-suction technology.
Look at here. It's beautiful.
Mm. It gives you the ability to add another 3 cards plus cash. This wallet is so slim.
How slim is it?
You can easily fit it in your front pocket. You'll barely know it's there. And don't forget, Groove Life makes the best belts in the world, but don't put them in the box with all your hats. Carla?
What?
Put them on the hook behind the door, in the closet where they belong. Don't put them in the hat basket.
Mike, time and place.
It's time to bring your wallet into the 21st century. Head to groovelife.com/TMOS for 20% off all Groove Life products. That's the best offer you'll find, but you have to use our link, groovelife.com/TMOS, for 20% off your order. A touching picture submitted to social media over the weekend of the lovely Shannon Zaballos, who serenaded me earlier before the show started today, and Oscar commenting on 6 years of blissful wedded bliss. Congratulations on your 6-year wedding anniversary. You celebrated in our nation's capital.
Yes.
How was your weekend?
It was wonderful. And in fairness to my wife, we haven't really ever celebrated our anniversary.
Do you observe it though? I mean, do you make note of it and then don't celebrate it? Or
we do, but for one reason or another, can't recall. It's been like, okay, let's just go to Martin's, like some dinner, nothing crazy.
You do that a
favorite
lot.
Favorite little joint in Georgia.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But this time I want to switch it up. So then I called and I tried to get a table at Nobu. And that didn't work out because they were booked. And then I called my American Express Platinum concierge and they're like, good luck, dude. So that didn't work out.
It's nice that you pay for that.
Yeah. Well, they usually get you into anywhere, which is fantastic. But I was like, I don't have time for 2 hours on the phone. Like, let's move on with life.
You can't go to Nobu because it's spooky season.
It is. And I already had my own paranormal activity.
That's his favorite kind of joke. No boo.
That's right. Exactly, Mike.
I had my fill on Thursday. So this is Saturday.
Right.
Saturday was the actual anniversary. I posted the picture on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And what I thought was a great move, because as I grow up and I want to evolve my culinary palate and show my wife I'm making an effort, mm-hmm, I book another table at a different restaurant that was not equally as pricey as Nobu, but close enough in my eyes.
Okay.
When I tell you, we sat down, and this is the type of place, if you cancel the reservation, they were going to charge you $150 a piece.
A piece?
A piece.
Oh, F them.
So we go to the restaurant.
But he is the king of the wings, Mike.
Mm-hmm. heavy-handed, though.
It was heavy-handed, because I got the little, I guess the app is called Resy. And they're like, can you confirm this? And remember, if you cancel, it's going to be $150. I was like, excuse me. So Shannon was like, what time's dinner? I said, 5:45. It's a surprise. She goes, that's a little early. I said, well, we're going to go at 5:45 because there's no wiggle room.
Yes.
Was it a prefix menu?
That was an option.
Okay.
We decided to go non-prefix.
They dined a la carte, Mike.
We did. Okay. Apparently you can't do that all the time. I've only had one prefix menu in my life, and that was in Los Angeles a decade ago, and I don't really remember it.
Okay.
So I said, self, look at the menu before you arrive so you don't look like a rube.
This is Carrie's big move. Carrie always examines the menu before we go somewhere and still is slow, but at least it speeds it up some.
I never have done this in my life.
Carrie does it all the time.
I saw the review that there's a Michelin star, yada, yada, yada.
Wow.
And I said, okay, I'm not really that into tires, but they're making a big deal about this. So
it's a big deal, a Michelin star.
My order was... the lady would like the linguine
with white clam sauce and a Coke with no ice.
No, they had two things on the menu. I said, this is going to be great. Mm. One is going to be the lobster ravioli, which was
okay.
Really written about at a high level.
It's a good thing.
And then they had a Dover sole fish that was made
delicious
one way, which was like the fisherman's way. Another way was encrusted in salt and baked. I don't know.
It's a most elegant and hard to find entree.
Did you know that the Dover sole had two eyeballs on one side?
Sure.
Yeah, it's a flounder.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
Fun fact.
I think it's a flounder.
It reminded me of the fish from The Simpsons.
It's a very delicate feet.
Yeah. You can't sneak up on it, Oscar.
So I say to the gentleman who had the most piercing clear eyes, I say, Hazel, I think they were. We're right next to the water. The sun was beaming down.
This is down on the harbor?
Yes.
Okay.
And
stop it, Mike. You're flipping me out.
I say,
can I interest you in an appetizer?
No, stop it.
I say, we would like to order the lobster ravioli and the Dover sole, because I guess you could share the Dover sole.
Sure.
Is that too much food for us? And then we're going to get a side of like some fancy potatoes, whatever. And he goes, no, that's just enough. It's just the two of you. I said, that's more than enough. You're great. So I'm like, okay. And he goes, would you like some bread? And she goes, absolutely. So they bring over this, I guess they break the bread on location because they charge us $10 per piece of bread. When I looked at the bill a little later,
they're
charging
for bread.
Some people do.
The bread was amazing.
Was it on the appetizer list? Bread?
Didn't look. Okay. He offered it. I said, I guess they bring it complimentary.
Bread.
It was amazing.
We used to call the restaurant business a name I hated. Meal bread.
Thank you.
Gross.
This is beyond meal bread. It was culinary bread. I said, I've never had bread like this. Is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The lobster comes, the raviolis, and we split the lobster ravioli. I'll say the price. It was painful to see, and I'll say $75.
How much did it say?
$75.
That's a lot for a
lobster ravioli.
How many raviolis?
We each had two in our bowl.
Good God.
Were they big?
No. And I
rip off.
It's like $18 a ravioli. Chef Boyardee is cheaper.
Fine dining.
I didn't make a big deal about it because I didn't want to like ruin the moment.
It's being moved out of.
Didn't want to ruin the moment. And when we went in for the ravioli, it was an explosion of flavor. And I said, oh my God, this is what foodies are all about. This mm-hmm. is why they get into
this. Yeah, well, I mean, if you're paying a gazillion bucks for it, it might as well be good. I mean, that's a good thing,
it
right?
It
is.
It was. I said, Shannon, we are better than, I said this at the table, I said, we are better than Red Baron Pizzas. We can't do this all the time, mm-hmm. but we've mm-hmm. got some of the best restaurants in the world around us. We should try to splurge once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And she said,
those more look like dumplings, Mac, instead of
raviolis. That's a lot more. By the way, there was the lobster was in the ravioli.
Oh, yeah, so it wasn't in the sauce.
There wasn't a claw on the side.
No claws. I'd
that
kill
looks
for,
good, though. I'm
I'd
hungry.
Kill for a claw. And then I said,
second
okay.
go, Manjaro ain't really
I was so
in.
Excited.
Yes.
I mm-hmm. said, Shannon, if the lobster ravioli is this good, what's the Dover sole going to be like?
Right.
Yeah. And I have to ask a question.
Yes.
Did you say you wanted the lobster ravioli first and then the Dover sole, or was it up
that's
to the
just
service? How,
that's just, and you had to order everything up front.
Of course. Of
that's,
course.
I didn't realize that you couldn't just like add something later.
Mm. You have drinks?
I had one drink and Shannon had one drink. And I said the Dover sole is going to be great. And just for some comparison, the only reason I know about Dover sole is because Shannon ordered it at the Metropolitan Club. And I had a bite of hers, and it was like, it was something out of this, it was just out of this
it's
world.
It's a buttery, delicious yes. mm-hmm. dish.
And I was expecting that. The gentleman mm-hmm. comes over with a pan, and look, I'm a rube, I get it, I'm a chicken
finger. Was it covered?
Guy. It was covered, a cast iron skillet, and he showed me the fish. I've never had anybody show me a fish before they
cooked.
Serve it. Yes.
Oh, showed it to you cooked?
They showed
it to
me
before?
Uncooked.
Huh. Yeah. Oh, me bad.
And I don't know what you say to that. I was just like.
So he brought the flounder out?
He brought the flounder out, showed me the fish.
What you're supposed to say, Mike, is this is common. Is it dead?
That's a beautiful flounder.
I gave him the, you know, the blue blood nod of like,
A-okay. Oh, yeah. Oh. Yes, to the pan you go,
my boy.
And then he scurried away with the pan, and Shannon said, what's that about? I said, I guess they show you the fish. So I saw
when he brought the fish out.
Yes.
Dead but not cooked.
Yes.
What was it in?
It was in a cast iron skillet.
Done.
It was the first time I've seen some people take a Chilean sea bass and then debone it or whatever they do right in front
Filet
of you.
Fillet it at the table.
Yes, yes.
But it's all wrong right. That it's in a cast iron pan because a cast iron pan would have to be heated before the fish is added.
It could have been anything. I don't know what it was, but it was in a pan.
All right, so they take it back. Yes. And then they're going to bring it out
to
eat.
Mm-hmm. And they serve us the fish. And I said, I can't wait. And I take a bite and it was chewy. Chewy fish. It wasn't appealing. It wasn't great. So much so that my wife didn't even finish her fish. And before,
like, dramatically overcooked, or
it
usually it turns to mush.
It's supposed to like melt in your mouth, I'm told, as I looked up on Google.
It sounds to me undercooked. If it's
maybe
chewy.
Undercooked.
Yeah.
Wasn't, and I live by this rule. When they came over, he said, "How's the Dover sole?" I said, "Excellent, my man."
Was the flavor decent?
No, it was just blah.
Was it fishy?
Not fishy, but blah.
Wow.
And I didn't make a big deal about it. And Shannon was like, "What do you think of the fish?" I said, "Oh, this is different than what you had at the Metropolitan Club, but I'm happy we're here together." Like, I made like a the
making it positive.
You're making it positive.
Sure. Was, skill that I do not possess.
She said, "I don't think this is the right fish." I said, "Did you see the skillet? It looked like, I guess." So then I'm at the table looking, because I'm a rube, looking at pictures of Dover soles.
Oh, you Googled it?
And was it the fish?
It was the fish. I said, "That's what it looked like."
But they screwed it up.
They screwed it up.
They botched it. Yeah.
So much so that I was like doing the mental math. I think it was $150 for the Dover sole. And
a piece of fish.
I was doing the mental math and I said, "Okay, don't be upset about this. Don't make a big deal about this. If your wife is fine with it, great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's not get dessert because we're clearly getting built. Note to self, maybe a couple rounds of ravioli. Or maybe just one next time in a cocktail, and we'll get the hell out of here."
Yeah, you have to focus on those $16 raviolis.
But I'm moving on and saying, this is why I'm a Red Baron guy, people.
Amen.
This is why I'm a chicken
Power
finger guy.
Mm.
This is why I'll go to Jimmy's and I'll travel to Herndon and have five-star wings.
Come down here and go to Buffalo Chips and Iguana Mia.
Yes.
F your Dover soul.
Any day.
Dover, I hardly knew her. You know? Jesus. Yeah, bunch
Can
of rubes.
Can you imagine?
Disgusting.
I got a beautiful picture of my wife.
She's beautiful. Any food poisoning?
I'm a very lucky man. No food poisoning.
That's good.
Good for you.
Oh, how are the potatoes?
Good. Not that great.
Thank you. We'll take a break. And we'll come back with more. You're listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa. Here it is. This is the vessel I use when I'm out on the links, ladies and gentlemen. Right now, it is filled with lemon lime liquid IV. Let me have a little swig before I tell you.
Sure.
Yummy in my tummy.
It's like it always is. It's empty.
Yeah, well, because you drink it. You can't help but drink it. It's so good.
Elevate your hydration with Liquid IV, America's number one powdered hydration brand. Whether it's morning, pre-workout, post-party, during long flights, their hydration multiplier has you covered. One stick hydrates twice as fast as water and provides essential vitamins and three times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks with 12 delicious flavors. Staying hydrated has never been more exciting. So join us in making a global impact. Liquid IV has donated 39 million servings across 50 countries. Choose Liquid IV for revitalizing and world-changing hydration. Real people, real flavor, real hydrating. Grab your Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco, or you get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code TMOS at checkout. Please do it that way.
Yes.
We'd appreciate it. That's 20% off anything when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code TMOS at liquidiv.com.
Hello.
Naples, Florida. You're not too far from there, are you?
30 minutes.
Okay.
Tops.
And I know that you know sort of the wildlife spectrum that you see in Florida. There's gators. Yep. There's lizards.
Burmese pythons.
Yes.
Cougars.
But this, hey, look out. Look
now,
out.
There are, though. They call them panthers down here.
Panthers.
But Mike, this is at a Naples. I guess it's a marina. And this surprised everybody because the guy that got on this boat was smarter than the average bear.
Then no one's going to believe me if I tell them.
That guy didn't think anyone would believe that a bear boarded his boat.
There's a bear on a boat.
He started to record it. Look at this incredible video. The boat was docked at the Naples Sailing and Yacht Club last night, and it's quickly become the talk of the town.
I mean, the bear has good taste. That's a nice sailboat. I don't blame it.
How does that even happen?
The bears down here are plentiful.
Are they?
Yeah, they like to go where the people are. They're bear sightings because that's all where the time.
They
down
like
here
the food. But doesn't he have to ask permission to come aboard?
Come aboard.
I'd like to come aboard, sir.
But I feel with all the, you've got boa constrictors.
Yeah,
you
Burmese
have
pythons.
Gators.
Yeah. Your gators.
Oh.
Water moccasins, rattlesnakes.
There's so much.
Lizards.
Like, the circle lizards of life.
Iguanas.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
You know what? Yeah. I would like it better if the bear was wearing a hat. Like a captain's hat.
A captain's hat.
That's what I was
like
hoping
Thurston
for.
Howell, a Thurston Howell hat.
Precisely.
I am, lovey.
Okay. Mike, let's keep it on the sort of the notion of pets. There's a guy, lives in New York City. He lives in Brooklyn. Mm. And he wants to get out of the city. And who can blame him, right?
Right.
So he goes to upstate New York to camp. He brings his own car. Looks like a nice car. Sadly, though, the rat was not standard.
Holy hell, I just got to way upstate.
He's going 45 miles an hour.
And rat with me from Brooklyn. Get, holy sh! Where'd it go? Okay.
Went back into the engine compartment.
There's a part two on this, Mac. You need to swipe to the second video to show the rat when he pulls over.
Go. I don't know where to go. Yeah.
Oh dear. Oh, potty mouth.
Just don't eat my wires.
So the rat actually crawled back into the engine block, but he came all the way from Brooklyn to upstate New York.
Obviously, he brought his lovely, classy lady with him.
Yeah, she likes to camp.
Where that rat was so little compared to the city rats around us.
Well, he's a cute little guy.
Yeah, he's like Fievel.
You know what?
It's the size,
that's the size of Frankie.
Yeah, Fievel goes upstate.
Yeah. And Mike, we'll close with this. Since it is spooky season, we've determined that, one of my favorite comics, Paul F. Tompkins, talking about scary movies.
I like scary movies because I think we all like to be scared. That's not true, but that is something that dumb actors say when they go on talk shows to promote their scary movie. Like, why did you take this role? Well, I think because we all like to be scared. No, we do not. We do not. Do you know why? It's scary. That's why nobody likes it. If you walk down the street, somebody sticks a gun in your face, your reaction is not, this is awesome! What a roller coaster ride I am on right now with this experience. What a thrill and a chill!
He doesn't like to be scared.
A thrill and a chill, ladies and gentlemen.
That's all I have for you today.
We got to get out of here. We'll be back with another episode tomorrow. Thank you for supporting us all. And make sure you support our advertisers.
Do
our
it
wonderful people like Groove Life and Liquid IV and Legacy Box, all those wonderful
Chime
sponsors. We'll be back. And Chime, we'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode for Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana. Michael Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
You know, I don't want to bring this up, but you've been treating a lot of people with a lot of disrespect, even your own wife. Playoffs?
Giants.
Let's talk about playoffs?
Giants.
You kidding me? Playoffs?
Giants. Thank you. Bye-bye.